The recording has started. You may proceed.
Thank you very much. This is Chuck Gomes, and this is meeting on the 6th of April, 2015. Looks like we have Grace from our staff support team on the call, and Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Mary Uduma, Olivier Crépin-Lebon, and Vika. Who is Vika? Can you tell me?
And Xavier Calvez as well.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Chuck. This is Grace Abu-Hamid. So Xavier just he's on the phone only lines. He just that's who just spoke now.
Oh, okay.
And Vika is one of our CCNSO appointed members. He's not officially part of DTO, but I think he's joining the call today. I don't know, Vika, if you want to speak up. I don't know if you're on mute or
right.
not.
That's
yeah.
great.
Your
Thank
name
you.
Is Vika Tivani.
Yeah, can you
hear me?
So, Vika, welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Well, hi, Chuck. I am Vika Tivani. One of the CCNSO counselors.
Good.
And,
okay.
I'm also part of the CWP. I've just been quiet.
Well, thank you very much. Hopefully everyone, this is Chuck, hopefully everyone saw the agenda. Any questions or concerns with the agenda, please speak up now. Is there anyone who is not on Adobe Connect? Also, please verbally speak up right now so I know that. Okay, that means everyone will be able to raise their hand in Adobe Connect if you'd like to speak. On the screen right now is the red line version of the latest recommendations document that was distributed to the list. And thanks, Grace, to getting a couple versions of that out, a clean version and the edited versions, and I think a clean version with comments as well. So that's on the screen right now. I want to welcome Xavier to the call. We're going to get to him very quickly. And I think everyone knows that Xavier is the Chief Financial Officer for ICANN. One of our main purposes on the meeting today is to discuss our recommendations with Xavier. Before we go to that, I would like to ask Grace if she would give us an update on any answers to questions that we had asked the finance team. I know that she had a meeting scheduled with Xavier on Friday and was going to ask some of the questions that we had. So, Grace, let me turn it over to you for any update you have before we discuss our recommendations with Xavier and give him a chance to make some introductory remarks if you would like.
Thanks, Chuck. This will be very brief. Essentially, I had transferred the questions over to finance, and then on Friday spoke with Xavier and gave him he had the recording and the draft and sort of information, just kind of gave him some background information about the group. And so he's on the call today to take the questions and answer and discuss with the group. So no updates from my end other than you have Xavier on the call. There you go.
Thank you, Grace. So maybe it makes sense to start with the questions and let Xavier respond to those. But before we do that, and before we look at our actual recommendations after that, Xavier, let me turn it over to you in case you'd like to make any introductory remarks or even ask us questions. That would be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chuck, and within about a couple of minutes, I will be on the Adobe room as well. Thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to speak and support the groups. I very much welcome that opportunity, and I will try to do anything I can to help. I have to apologize, but being on vacation over the past few days, I was only able to touch base with Grace and Teresa on Friday, obtain the questions that you have, And give it a little bit of thoughts in the meantime, but not necessarily go very deep into answering the questions. And I also thought that it would be useful to obtain background and clarification from any of you during this call as well. The only preliminary comment I want to make is, which I'm suspecting may be relevant to the conversation and the objectives that this group has, is that if I look at cost exercise from a financial standpoint, any cost exercise, as I say to our colleagues as well, there are as many different types of costs as there are purposes to produce a cost analysis. And this means that there's not one financial truth or right number. There is a number that gives the answer to the question that is asked. And asking the question is nearly sometimes more complicated than providing the answer. So what I want to be really careful in being able to adequately do for me to support the group is understanding very well what is the question that is being asked so that I can have a chance to answer it or help answering it adequately. And at this stage, that's the only comment I wanted to make, and I would love to have a bit more background or any description of the questions that are asked in that context from any of you in the group, Chuck. So here, back to you.
Thank you very much, Xavier. For those that haven't been involved in the budgeting process over the last few years, let me just share a general perception from my part, as one who has been involved quite actively, that Xavier has accomplished, and since he's come on board, some very good things on the budget. And so I'm very complimentary not only to him, but his team. He's got a great team behind him, and I for one have enjoyed very much working with them. So that said, Grace, could I ask you to kind of go through the questions that we had asked one at a time, and we'll give Xavier a chance to respond?
Sure, Chuck. Let me go ahead and upload sort of a document that I had for that. We can get started from there. Okay, so the document you have on the screen was the collection, the compilation of questions I pulled from the call last Tuesday, as well as, or last Wednesday, as well as the comments that James had put into the budget document. And Xavier, by the way, is now in the Adobe room.
Yeah, I see you there.
Right. So we can go through them in any order you'd like. What I did is the first three were the ones that came up on the call that Olivier had kind of identified, and then the questions 4 and 5 referred to the operating budget document, operating plan and budget document, and then the 6 through 10 referred to the Excel spreadsheet and specific projects or questions by project in there. So I concluded the references, but you can start in any order.
Okay. Thank you very much, Grace. Let's just use the, unless anybody objects, let's just go through them in order. So the first one, as you can see, Xavier, is finance working on a current breakout of IANA costs? So, Xavier, it looks like you dropped off the phone bridge, and I'm assuming that the Adobe audio is working.
Chuck, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. There we go.
I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, I just needed to turn on my microphone, apparently. Sorry. So question number one, is finance working on a current breakout of the IANA costs? When will it be available? Over the past few weeks, we have worked on producing an information relative to the IANA costs, and a draft is ready. As I said before, there's a cost to try to answer a question or a purpose. The question that we tried to answer when building that IANA cost estimate is the question of how much do the IANA functions cost to ICANN today. Therefore, it is in the circumstances of ICANN operating the IANA function, considering the infrastructure that ICANN already has in place, considering the other functions that ICANN already operates and supports, what is the cost of the IANA function in those circumstances. So we have a draft of that information. It can be shared at any point of time forward. And it's just a matter of, I think, either this group or the wider group to determine how this information would be best shared, but it's available for sharing.
Thank you very much, Xavier. That's very helpful. Does anyone on the call have any suggestions about how that might best be shared? Do we want it to be, would it be good to be shared with this design team right away, or is it better shared with the full working group, or should we consult with the co-chairs of the full working group? Any thoughts on that, or in the chat, or raise your hand if you have a thought on that, please. Vikek suggests sharing it with the design team, so why don't we start there? That's a good idea. And then the design team can decide where to go with that, and maybe we may want to make a reference to that in our recommendations that we submit on Friday or even before then. So thank you very much, Vikek, for sharing that. Let's go, and by the way, I will assume if I don't see any hands raised that nobody has any questions or comments on a particular question, and I'll move right on to the second one. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Cheryl, for the record. Just to add on, totally supportive of what Vika suggests, but I think it would behoove us, Chuck, for us to just inform the co-chairs. Notice, Xavier, we're not rushing to say let's quickly publish these, pretty much because we all understand the first discussion you brought up with us. So I think we'll be clear to base our recommendations on these, but I think just Chuck, as long as we do a note to let the co-chairs know that, you know, these are in hand and we appreciate it, but we'll not actually publish them unless we need to.
Good point, Cheryl. Thank you. This is Chuck again. And Grace, give me an action item once we get those on the design team to send that to Jonathan and Lisa and just to inform them and before we take any other steps. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Xavier, you're up, please.
Thank you. A couple questions or comments. When would you like that I share the information with this group at this stage? Is it as early as possible? Is there a specific timing that's preferred?
Sorry for jumping in too soon. But it's Chuck again. Xavier, if you can do it as soon as possible, that would be great, because then we can get it to the chairs and see whether it makes sense for us to make reference to that in the deliverable that we have to get out this week. So as soon as possible would be great. Thank you very much.
So I suggest that I do it by no later than tomorrow morning, let's say Eastern Standard Time. If that works with everyone, and tomorrow morning being, let's say, 9 a.m.
That sounds fine to me, Xavier, unless somebody else thinks differently. Well, let's just go with that, okay? And I see Cheryl agrees with that as well.
I had a second comment.
Go ahead,
Chuck,
Xavier.
May I, please? Sorry, just a second comment is that I also think it is best to provide information with this design team first, simply because I'm assuming that this is a smaller group with which it would be probably easier to have a first pass at the information. And I'm also thinking that I would want to use this audience here to provide explanation as to what is the information that we have put together. We have tried to make it simple as well as comprehensive, but obviously it is sufficiently technical that we want to make sure that the information that is provided is adequately understood and meets the need of the group. And I was thinking about using this group as the review team that would help to make sure that the information that we share is understandable, understood, and adequate. So let me know if that purpose is not necessarily well served with this group, but it sounded to me that the group would be well able to do this and willing to do this.
Thank you very much, Xavier. It's Chuck again. That sounds like a reasonable idea to me. I have a follow-up question for you in that regard before I go to Vika. Would it make sense later in the week after you have sent that to us and the team members have had a chance to look at it to schedule a call to go over that with you, or do you think it would suffice just to provide input via email? Any thoughts on that, Xavier, before I go to Vika?
I'm completely fine with having another call. I think it would be useful. I would welcome certainly questions by email prior to the call, simply because it would help me prepare to provide an answer during the call. But I think a call would be really useful because it allows to be a lot more interactive on questions and answers. So I think that would make sense to me.
Thank you. Again, sorry for putting you off a little bit, Vika, but I don't want to forget this. Brenda, if you could look back at the doodle poll, see whether we need to send it out again for a possible meeting on Wednesday or Thursday. And if we do, go ahead and send one out. If we've got enough information to pick a time, make sure, though, we check on Xavier's availability or someone from his team, whichever he prefers. Because I think he sounds like he'll be a critical player in that. So let's check that. And maybe the easiest is just to do another doodle poll so that we get the new people that have joined as well. So I'll let you, Brenda, you're good at handling those things, so I'll let you handle that. Vika, you're up.
Thanks, Chuck. Just a quick one for Xavier. I don't know if it will help. I just wanted to check, because we dealt with you in the CCNSO for a period of 2 years ending in 2013, and trying to determine the cost that I can incur in serving CCLDs. And there were several interactions we had with you, and there were some recommendations of how we would like to see the financial information structured, especially in relation to IANA, because that was one function that the CCLDs failed, that we were using probably more than any other. So would it be fair then to expect that the information you will send will be such that it will attempt to identify costs attributable to CCTLDs and costs attributable to other IANA customers?
So, Vika, we are having a little bit of trouble understanding you. Let me try and talk more directly into the microphone if you can. But let me ask Xavier if he understood the question. Xavier, did you understand the question that was asked? I think it was directed at you.
Yes, I think I understood the question. So let me repeat the question that I think I understood, because that's the one I'll try to answer. I think I understood that the question was about whether the information that I will produce will provide an understanding of the costs, the INF function for the CCTLDs versus the cost of the INF functions for the GTLDs. And that's the question that I understood. The cost information that I'm going to provide is the cost of operating the INF functions. They are not the cost for a specific customer. That analysis has not been done. So if we would call the CCTLDs or the GTLDs customers of the INF functions, I have not tried to determine a cost per CCTLD or per a certain activity. The costs that we will provide are the total costs of operating the INF functions for ICANN, irrespective of which services and which recipients of those services are these services are being provided to. Hopefully this is clear.
Thank you very much, Xavier. And let me, this is Chuck again, let me share a thought there as well. I would think that some of the costs really aren't separatable. For example, the customer service that IANA provides to GTLDs and CTLDs, I mean, they provide that around the clock, and obviously the use of the services varies somewhat by GTLDs and CCTLDs, but they have to provide the service for both of us all the way around the clock. So I don't know how realistic it is to be able to separate those costs. I suspect that the IANA team right now, in the reports they give, you could break down the number of calls for CCTLDs and GTLDs and things like that, and we might be able to then correlate the amount of call volume to G's or C's, but I'm not sure the finance team could do that. But let me stop there and see if you wanted to add anything else on that, Vika, before I go to Alan. Not hearing you, Vika, if you're saying anything. Okay, thank you that you don't have anything else. Alan, go ahead.
Yep, thank you. I suspect it would be possible to divide the costs in a number of buckets, that is, the costs of IANA just being there, and then the marginal costs to support the IETF, the RIRs, and registries, and perhaps even divide it between the two kinds of registries. But I think that's a second-order thing that we might look at doing as we go forward, and I'm not sure it needs to be done on the critical path for the transition to happen itself. And on top of that, I think some of those distinctions in terms of what do you consider base cost and what's the marginal cost are going to almost be, you know, not arbitrary, but, you know, sort of someone's best rule of thumb. And not be particularly accurate. But in any case, I don't really, unless I'm missing something, I don't see the need for doing that as we go forward for the transition. Certainly would be an interesting thing, and I understand that from the perspective of the CCTLDs why that may have some value, but I'm not sure it's on our critical path. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again. Does anybody disagree with Alan's suggestion there, including Vika? I mean, does that make sense that particular breakout, even not only just CCTLDs and GTLDs, but also the IETF and the RIRs, that breakout would not necessarily be on the critical path that we need to accomplish a transition. Anybody disagree with that? Thanks, Cheryl, for the check mark of agreement. Anybody disagree with that? Just put a red X in the Adobe Connect, and we'll see that. I can just check that. I'm not. There's another agreement by Olivier. So let's assume.
Vika has agreed on the chat.
Okay, good. I was looking at the check marks and not the chat. Thanks. Appreciate that, Vika. And let me look at Mary's comment, too, because I've been focusing elsewhere. Oh, that's good. So so one of the things that the CWG could use is the documents that the CCNSO produced as well to help break that out. So that's helpful. Thanks, Mary, for that contribution. Let's go to question number two. Identify all costs, operational and recurring, shown in the budget that pertain to IANA functions. This includes items converted in other parts of the budget and that are shared with other departments. And if I recall from Grace, this question was, I think, one from Olivier. And so if Olivier wants to clarify, if any clarification is needed, we can ask Olivier to do that. But let me just ask Xavier, is that something that is basically covered in the draft breakout of costs that you've done, or would more work be needed to accomplish that?
Thank you, Chuck. So I have a few questions on this question. When we say shown in the budget, which budget are we referring to? Is it the fiscal year 15, the fiscal year 16, or another reference point for budget? That would be my first question.
I think it's, this is Chuck, I think it's probably both, but let me ask Olivier to comment if he can.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chuck. Olivier Tapanablon speaking. And indeed, we're looking at both budgets. We're looking at FY15 as a past budget, and we're also looking at the forthcoming one, since this will be the one that is likely to have to be changed once the maybe not changed, but certainly has to be recorded in a different way, probably. If we're going to make any recommendations for the IANA budget to be separate from other budgets. So we're looking at both. And here I'm speaking specifically of operational costs and recurring costs as two different types of costs. You've got the one which are your basic operations and so on. And then you have the ones that have to do with your investment into computers and other types of equipment. So there's various costs that we're well aware of, but at the moment they're not actually standardized in a certain way. And as an example, and that kind of goes into the next question as well, but looking at the full-time equivalent number of people working on IANA functions, we've noticed that although X number of people work on the IANA function, the full-time equivalent number of people is different in the budget, and obviously we're well aware that many resources are shared between different departments, and so we would need to try and identify what all of those costs are and how they're shared to find out if those are indeed able to be recorded as being a separate cost or separable from the other costs that you have there. But does that help?
Yes. So when you say the FTEs, for example, are different from what? Just that
on
I understand.
Hand, yeah, it's Olivier speaking. Thanks, Xavier. On the one hand, I don't have the exact numbers in mind because I haven't got the paperwork there, but looking at the full-time equivalent of the number of people that work on the IANA, IANA functions, when you look at the actual budget and it shows the FTEs in there on employee levels, it's a different number than the number that we have as the number of people that work in IANA or on the IANA functions.
Yes.
We've been told that there's X number of people that work on that. Obviously, when we say there's, let's take a number, let's say three people work on the IANA functions, that does not take into account the people that are there to do any accounts or if there's any translation of documents that is needed or these things, because, of course, we know that these are resources that are shared with other departments. What we'd like to try and find out is if we can actually identify what all of these other resources are that are shared that are not purely IANA functions and that the IANA function needs and requires to operate.
Okay, understood. So I think that, one, the the document that will answer question one will also answer a large fraction of question two and probably all of question three, since the analysis that will be provided is providing a list of operations or tasks or functions that are required to be involved in the accomplishment of the IANA functions on an ongoing basis that are additional to the IANA department. So when you were describing earlier that there are other resources than the IANA functions that are involved in the work, I want to make a simple distinction. There is an IANA department within ICANN that has dedicated resources to operating the IANA functions. There are other non-dedicated resources from other departments that contribute to the IANA functions within ICANN. And the analysis that I mentioned earlier that has already been done provides an understanding of what those non-IANA department-specific resources are and what type of activity they accomplish so that the IANA functions are operated within ICANN. I simply, if we can establish that vocabulary definition that the IANA department are the dedicated resources, and then there are other resources that contribute to the IANA function, which then are shared between those functions and other functions that support the ICANN operations, that are therefore requiring a certain amount of allocations. So the answer that I will provide by tomorrow morning will provide an understanding of what are those other areas, whether there are departments or functions that contribute to operating the IANA functions and that are not IANA department specific. At the end of the day, I think that whether it's a department of ICANN or that's specific or another department of ICANN, it's nearly irrelevant. There are resources that contribute to operating the functions, and they are either dedicated or shared. And, of course, that understanding is very useful. I have heard already in the comments or in the questions the reference to they will need to be allocated or that we need to be specified in the future. What will be recommended by this group in terms of legibility, visibility, in what type of information, on what type of recurrence is extremely important, because I'm going to make a comment that also will help you understand what has been produced so far and what is not produced so far. ICANN does not produce costs by either functions or tasks. We do not produce on an ongoing basis. It doesn't mean that it cannot be done, and that's what has been done to satisfy the specific request of this group. We have calculated an estimate of IANA costs for the purpose of answering this question at this time. We do not calculate the cost of IANA functions on an ongoing basis. It doesn't mean that we couldn't. It just means that we are not set up to do that right now, or for any other specific functions. For example, if you would tell me what are the costs of policy development at ICANN, I cannot open a document and say this is what it is. I would need to initiate and complete an analysis which purpose would be to understand what are the costs of policy development at ICANN. Presumably, that would also require to gather the cost of the policy support department at ICANN, as well as identifying the other resources across all the other departments of ICANN that contribute either fully or partially to policy development at ICANN. And that would be also a special purpose analysis, an ad hoc analysis that I would need to perform. if on an ongoing basis there's a number of functions that ICANN that we would like to be able to, on an ongoing basis, have cost information for either budget or actual or both, we would need to define what those buckets are or what those functions are for which we want to have the costs on an ongoing basis, and therefore, and then initiate a process to enable ICANN to calculate those costs on an ongoing basis. You are not trying or set up.
Can everybody except those, the person talking, please mute your phone and then unmute when you're talking? We're still getting a lot of interference. Is there anyone that has not muted their phone besides me and I'm talking? Okay. All right. Now, Xavier, were you finished? Getting interference there. Can we check with the operator to see where that's coming from?
Chuck, it's me. It's not me, more to the point. I'm only just back on the call, but I was getting that same noise out of the AC room. I am driving, but not in traffic. And I'm now muting.
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good. Now, Xavier, were you finished?
Chuck, it's Olivier. I missed what Xavier was saying in his last couple of sentences because of the sound. So,
okay.
Someone who's still unmuted.
Yeah. Go ahead, Xavier. If you can repeat what you said towards the end there, it was getting very hard to hear.
Okay, understood. And hopefully... I will start back at the point of time where you left me. What I was explaining is that ICANN on an ongoing basis does not produce cost information relative to specific functions or the operations of specific functions. So, for example, the IANA cost analysis that I will provide later on today or tomorrow has been produced as a result of a specific exercise, as a result of a specific question, and produced for the purpose of that answering that specific question at this time. It is not an ongoing activity of ICANN to produce costs of functions. If you would, for example, ask me to produce the cost of policy development at ICANN, I would also initiate and then complete a cost analysis that would require me to gather the costs of that contribute to policy development at ICANN, which presumably would involve, of course, the policy support department, but also presumably a number of other functions within ICANN that contribute to policy development and that are in other departments of ICANN. So that would also be another ad hoc analysis that I would need to complete. I'm not trying to indicate that it cannot be done. It can completely be done. It needs to be done on demand, and it needs to be a specific ad hoc exercise because ICANN is not currently producing or set up to produce this type of analysis. It doesn't mean either that ICANN could not in the future set itself up to produce this type of analysis on an ongoing basis. I'm only saying that we are not currently set up to do so. And I'm done.
Thank you very much, Xavier. Very informative response, I thought. Let me go back to Mary and see if she would like to unmute and say something. She had her hand up before. It's down now. Mary, would you like to say anything now?
Okay.
Not hearing anything from Mary. Does she need to be unmuted by Grace?
Chuck, Mary, this might be you. We're having trouble with your line, so I think you're unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
They can hear you.
All right. I think the point I wanted to make, he has taken care of it. I wanted him to first to simplify direct costs with the indirect one and recovery costs from other departments, as he has been explaining. But the thing is that there is the CAPEX and the OPEX. The OPEX is being taken care of. But the IAMA cost that contributes the cost to the CAPEX needs to be also included in the analysis. So I don't know whether he's saying that it's difficult to do that. So it's a cost accounting model that would get a recovery of the CAPEX aspect of the cost of IAMA so that it will be complete cost. So if we just take the operational cost and the overhead or the direct cost and the overhead without the CAPEX aspect of the you have me.
Thank you, Mary. This is Chuck again. Xavier is, and you've got your hand up, so I'm going to go right to you. I was anyway. So is it reasonable to expect that in the analysis that you've done for the IANA cost that in most, if not all, cases, the purpose would be clear? Go ahead, Xavier.
Thank you. So thank you, Mary, for the question, and it's a relevant one. And this is one subject that I would have addressed in the preamble to the email that I will send to the group with the analysis. When we produced this analysis a few weeks ago, basically between mid and end of February, we did not attempt to address the question of what are the asset costs for the IANA operations. So the document that we produced and that I will share tomorrow only has the annual costs of operating the IANA functions for ICANN. It does not have the costs of building the assets that are required in order to operate the IANA functions. And if this group would like to formulate the question and the request, this is something that I can work on in addition to producing the annual operating costs for ICANN. It will take a certain amount of time. It will not be immediate. It will not be by tomorrow, but this is something that can be done, and I would definitely agree is a relevant piece of information.
Thank you, Xavier. Chuck again. And then, of course, all of us, I think, understand that, and this is really to the team members on the call, is that once we see this document, Xavier is looking for feedback on that from us, so we'll be able to provide that on once we see it. Olivier, your turn.
Thanks very much, Chuck. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. And just adding to what Mary was mentioning regarding CAPEX, I wonder whether it would also be possible to show what we called amortissement in French, amortization of already purchased capital equipment and so on. Because I do realize that this is shown as one piece at the moment across all of ICANN's budgets, since IT resources, et cetera, are all shared. But if one was to look at strict costings, one would it would be good, and it would certainly be important to also be able to gain a full picture of what it costs to run the IANA function from A to Z. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Chuck again. And let me make a suggestion. To the extent we can hold off on some questions until we see what they've done, I think we can be more efficient, and then we can provide feedback and ask questions based on the analysis that Xavier is going to send to us tomorrow. So now keep that in mind as we're doing this, because I think some of these things – some of the questions may be answered in what he gives us. If not, then we can raise the questions then and make comments then. Alan, you're up.
Thank you very much. I missed previous calls, so or calls if there were multiple ones. So maybe this question has already been addressed. At this point, we are not likely to be going out for tender to completely subcontract the IANA operation to a brand new entity.
how much of the stuff we're talking about right now do we really need for the transition, and how much might be needed, for instance, if ICANN were to spin off a subsidiary or affiliate, you know, just for bookkeeping purposes, but we don't really need for the transition plan. I wonder how much we're getting into the details that are both interesting and perhaps important in the long term, but not something we need to address in the next week or two.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck. And I think you make a good point. At the same time, I do believe that once we begin to narrow down, hopefully, to one solution, we won't know for sure how much detail we need until we know the details of that solution. It may very well be that some of the detail we can get later, at a later stage of the evolution of the IANA services. We may not need it for the specific transition out the door, but we don't really know for sure. So what we're getting right now, and it's not for this group to necessarily do the analysis in terms of what the how the budget matches to the ultimate solution we select, but certainly it's something we should keep in mind. And I think the working group itself in Istanbul suggested that, you know, it'd be helpful to know the costs. That's what they're giving us now. I think, Alan, your point's well taken, that we need to be careful not to get down so far into the weeds to something that is not on the critical path for the immediate transition, just like others have said on this call.
Yeah, Chuck, if I may have one
sure.
more comment. I don't believe any of the solutions that we're looking at, including Contract Co., really need these kind of numbers in great depth. The only ones that might require it soon after transition or in the process of the actually doing the transition is spinning off a subsidiary and knowing what assets we have to transfer to that new corporation. So I don't think any of them, you know, unless we're going out for tender and want to be able to do a sanity check, or are they quoting us something reasonable, I don't think any of the solutions that we're looking at right now really need these in great detail. And I think there has been general agreement that on the very short term, this is not moving away from the ICANN staff and the ICANN physical infrastructure. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Chuck again. And as you noted yourself, if we went out the door with the subsidiary model, and I'm not suggesting that we will, but if we did, that would have some cost implications, where having the analysis done in advance would save us time in getting there. So, but point well taken. Xavier, your turn.
Sorry, can I jump in there?
Sure, Cheryl. You want to go before Xavier, or let Xavier?
If possible, because I'm kind of disagreeing with Alan.
Okay, go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks. Look, I think in as much as it shouldn't obviously cause an impost on either our time or Xavier's, but I think as he and his team are answering our questions, these additional questions, if they're just taken with notice and the homework starts getting done, would be extremely useful. I think that one of the most powerful things in the tendering process or the contemplation of tendering process running the CCTLD in .au in the past has been our ability to look at these capexes and amortization aspects, because it provides a very real, it's a reality check, pardon the pun. And of course, we really need to also recognise that one of the things that we're likely to be recommending, of course, is to ensure that while in the absence of contract, and of course it would only be in the absence of contract that such things as subcontracting could even be contemplated, because under what is it, C.2.1, boy, it's something or other, that is impossible with the current contract with NTIA. Sorry, Xavier, Chuck made me read it. Also, of course, it's under that same contract that the assurity of having both a wrap-up possibilities under bankruptcy and also abilities to transition in inverted commas, not the way we're using it, but to ensure ongoing operations, including the costs for that, are assured. And it's in the absence of that contract that I think having these figures to hand would be extraordinarily useful. So we know exactly, in our inability to look at what must be necessarily confidential documentation, it does give us, a reasonable rationale to assure community in the future that what we're recommending retransition is valid. And with that diatribe, I will go back on mute. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. And before I give it to Xavier, our time's running out very quickly, and I'd really like to take advantage of the time we have with Xavier to let him respond to specific questions we have and leave our debating among ourselves in terms of what things are needed by us and so forth separate from that. We will need to get to that, but let's really take advantage of Xavier's generous willingness to interact with us right now. Xavier, you're up.
Thank you, Chuck. You made a reference earlier to keep questions to after you will have seen the document that we have produced. I'm fine with that. I just want to point out that in respect to the subject of capital expenses that we have been discussing just now, I want to reiterate that clearly the document that I will provide tomorrow morning does not include any capital expense reference, since that's not the answer that we were trying to produce at the time. If I may bounce back on that point and address both Cheryl's and Alan's and the point that I started with on this call, we can provide any analysis that is required and useful for this group. We just need to be really clear on what the question is that is being asked to answer. As an example, capital costs. It would be a very different answer and a very different analysis to get to this answer, to answer the three following questions. What are the capital costs for ICANN to operate the IANA functions today? One. Two. What are the assets to be transferred to a special purpose entity if we would want to carve out the IANA functions from ICANN tomorrow? Two. Three, what are the capital costs to start create from scratch the capabilities of operating the IANA functions? That's three. Those three questions are completely different from each other, different analysis, different answers, different purposes, and they all relate to what are the capital costs. I'm not trying to gauge or guide your discussion. I'm only pointing out to the challenge in spelling out very well the question that you have for what purpose so that we can answer it adequately. And my point being very, very specifically to I'm expecting that you guys want to know what the capital costs are. I think I heard from the previous conversation that the capital costs that you would like to understand are what those capital costs are for ICANN today. That's the first question out of the three that I listed earlier, and that I want to make sure that I'm very clear on what the question is. So that would be one that I would want you guys to make sure you can spell out, and I'm not saying you should restrict. It's not one shot only. You can ask several questions, and we'll try to answer all of them. I just want to be very clear at what information you want to know. I'll shut up there.
Thank you, Xavier. And again, I want to point out that I think that getting down to some specific questions, like Xavier very well gave us examples for just now, probably is going to be easier to do once we know the specific solution that the group is recommending. So in other words, once we decide on a solution and put it out for public comment, that might be a good time to ask some of those specific questions rather than getting bogged down in the specifics knowing that there's still quite a few variables that may change in the next couple of weeks. Olivia, your turn.
Thanks very much, Chuck. Olivia Capon of Law speaking. And I was going to, provide my view on what Xavier has just told us here. I think that all three are needed, 1, 2, and 3. Very good examples that he's provided here. We're going to need those in the future. That doesn't mean we need them in 24 hours, but I have a strong feeling we're going to need all of these, because if we want to have a full analysis of the budget of IANA and how the IANA runs, and if some of the solutions are going to say, well, this is how things would happen if there was a bankruptcy of ICANN and IANA had to stand on its own 2 feet, we would have to have those figures and show at least that we've spent some time working those figures out. But I do understand at the same time what Chuck is saying. This is not a showstopper for us, and I think that we can provide you with advance notice, Xavier, that these are likely to be needed, and so you have the time with your team to identify how, if you would be able to actually find those out. I believe it is possible, but it might involve work that is outside the usual day-to-day running of things. And I don't know what my colleagues think about that, because we haven't discussed this yet, but my feeling is that we will need them, and we'll need them maybe after the public comment period. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Olivia. And just to follow up on that, and also what Alan was saying earlier in terms of what pressing needs we have now and ones later, as you're developing questions and comments for the analysis that Xavier is going to send us, if you could comment in terms of whether something is on the critical path in terms of doing the transition, or maybe something that could be deferred a little bit later. Keep that in mind and try and comment in that regard in comments and questions that you raise after seeing the analysis. Xavier, is that an old hand? Or if not, go ahead and speak.
Yes, sorry, it's an old hand. I'm lowering it now.
Okay, thank you. All right, now let's move ahead. 4, I think, is maybe partially covered, because I have sense, I don't remember whether it was in this design team or another one that I'm leading. We've talked about the fact that the IANA customer service is separate from the GDD customer service team. But it is true that the IANA services, as ICANN is organized right now, does come under the GDD. So in some cases, some GDD services that include IANA services will have to be broken out. But I'm going to guess that we don't need to really talk too much about that now. I think we already know, and Xavier and his team are providing an analysis that will be able to probably identify any other areas within GDD costs. It sounds like they will have already pulled those out, with the exception of CapEx that he just talked about. So unless there's any objections, I'd like to go on from 4 and go to 5. Anybody object to that? Okay. And then 5... it's kind of similar, except related to accountability. My suggestion is that we look at the detail they give us and see if we still need to ask question 5 after that. So any objections of moving on there? Okay. Number 6, I think we've kind of covered that as well. Well, let me stop. Let Olivier talk here.
Thanks very much, Chuck. Olivier Capon of Law speaking, and I'm sorry to interject in your listing and going through the questions here. I was just going to ask one thing, though. Of course, these are the questions that we have asked, and we are flying through them, and obviously it's a better use of time for them to be answered in writing. But I did wonder whether Xavier had any questions about the questions that we asked, and maybe we should also give him a chance then during this call.
if he does wish to stop you from going through the list and say, hang on, I do have a clarification needed on that, could you please explain, then we're here to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Chuck again, and of course, Xavier, please do that as you have questions of us. Go ahead. Oops.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other specific questions at this stage. What I want to be really clear on, and I think I have so far, and if it's not clear, then please let me know. But what I want to make sure you can do is spell out the requests for information that you have very clearly, ideally in writing. Not that I think it needs to be very formal, but the formality of writing it down requires to spell it out, if I may say. So I think that would be helpful. I'm actually happy to help this group spell out those questions, but I want them to be really clear and also issued formally, not for any other purpose than making it clear what the question is, where it comes from, and who it gets to. I will provide an illustration that I think is frustrating to all of us. I said earlier that I started working on IANA costs slightly before the Singapore meeting. I have produced an analysis towards the very end of February for internal purposes with reviewers that had completed their work about then. That was a month ago. You guys still don't have it. A clear path of communication would help, I think, make that type of work be completed and communicated more timely if there would be a formal process of question and answer. So if you can produce the questions that you would like answered and have them in writing and send them through the adequate channel so that they get to the person who can answer the question in your view, I think that would be real helpful to make sure they're answered as timely as possible. My second comment is the scenarios that I was spelling out a little bit earlier that Olivier used for the purpose of his chat comment, of course, I made up, but I made up on the basis of what I have heard. I reiterate that I do believe that the costs, whether capital or operating, for those three scenarios would be quite different from each other. And would require definitely a significant amount of analysis to be performed by ICANN in order to be answered. They could be answered at different level of granularity, but producing even a high level answer or basically a low granularity or low detail level of answer would still require a certain amount of time. It is not a very simple analysis. It's one that needs to be produced for very significant stakes and purposes, and it is not one that ICANN has any already available analysis to start from. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. Now, for questions 6 through 10, this is Chuck speaking again. For questions 6 through 10, I would like to ask that if you or someone on your team, however you decide best, Xavier, could respond to those in writing to the list. They're very project or portfolio specific, and I don't see a lot of value in taking the time on this call to go through those specifically. In cases where you think it's covered in the analysis you're giving us, just say that. See the analysis. If more work needs to be done, just say that. But there, rather than getting down into the weeds of those specific projects, I think they're questions that would help us to get answers for, but I don't think it's best use of our time on this call to go through them one by one. Xavier, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. So I believe that the analysis that I will provide by tomorrow will be helpful because it is more comprehensive and more specific that the information from which the questions 6 to 7 have been drawn. I'm not saying those questions are not relevant. If you remember the statement that I made earlier, that ICANN does not currently produce costing information for functions like IANA or policy or any other, the information that the question 6 to 7 was used to formulate the questions is the FY16 budget that is currently for public comment. Again, that information is not produced with in mind the intent to produce cost of functions like the cost of functions that you would like to be able to see for IANA. So you're using to spell out the question 6 to 7 in information that's not designed for the purpose of answering those questions, but the information that I will share by tomorrow morning with this group was designed for that purpose. I think as a result, it may be helpful to wait for you guys to wait for to have been able to look at this analysis to then determine how we can best answer the question 6 to 7. One thing that I would like to say is that the analysis that I will provide by tomorrow was using the FY15 budget information. That analysis can definitely be replicated using the FY16 information if that would be useful and required, and that can be done upon a request. I also want to emphasize that when you don't Let me rephrase. When you produce an information for a relatively general purpose, and then you try to produce a similar type of information for a specific purpose as a specific exercise, there are inevitable structural construction differences that make the two pieces of information very different. And, by the way, reconciling them together is not always possible. The budget is a all-encompassing exercise for the 360 degrees view of the entire organization with a defined structure, with a defined approach, with a defined level of granularity, with a defined purpose, which is the operations of ICANN on an ongoing basis by the ICANN staff. So they are not the right materials necessarily to look at a very specific, focused set of functions with a specific purpose for that information to be produced in mind. So I'm going back to the same statement that I made earlier. There are as many numbers as there are questions asked for a cost analysis. If you need an information, you need to spell out the question that you want to answer. So that's why I want to be very specific about that. Having said that, again, my recommendation would be to wait for the analysis from tomorrow, which was produced for that specific purpose. And I think a lot of those questions will be more clear after that. And if they wouldn't be, I'm very happy to answer them then.
Thank you very much, Xavier. That makes sense. Now, can I conclude the same thing for questions 8, 9, and 10? In other words,
I think so as well. Yeah, I assume that 6 to 10 was the scope of that conversation. I haven't answered 4 to 5, and I am happy to follow up with the IANA to be able to identify if any of the IANA-related customer service support is provided by the GDD customer service as opposed to the IANA customer service. I'm happy to at least start digging into that question if that is helpful.
Thank you very much. I think that would be helpful, so thank you very much.
Okay, now, I will do that.
What I'd like to do is jump to the recommendations document. Grace, if you can put that up there. The clean one is probably best for now, just to make it clearer. And Xavier, what I'd like, I don't know if you've had time to look at these recommendations or not, but the most critical thing that this design team, needs to present by Friday is our recommendations, okay? And it would be very helpful for us as a team to know that the recommendations we're making, first of all, are clear enough, and secondly, whether they are feasible recommendations. And so what would be very helpful for us on the remainder of the call, if it takes that long, to get your sense, are we going in a reasonable direction? Are we asking for things that are not only are feasible and reasonable? That would be very helpful. And so if we, everybody has the ability to scroll down. If you'll scroll down to the recommendations sections, the proposed recommendations, I'd like to focus on, like us to focus on those and get Xavier's reaction on those. Xavier, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm trying to stay on the recommendation number one.
Okay.
And obviously, my ability to answer the question, are they feasible, are they reasonable, is only, I'm engaging only myself in that, in providing that answer. I cannot speak for, with the limited amount of background that I have into the overall IANA transition, stewardship transition project, including the conversation of this group, which is as old as 24 or 48 hours, I do not have the entire framework or background to be able to fully answer those questions, but I can give an opinion on the basis of what I'm understanding at this stage. So with that limitation, I'm happy to proceed with trying to answer the question. The IANA costs should be fully transparent. So there's a few words that need to be defined correctly. IANA costs should be fully and transparent. All need to be, in my views, adequately defined. So I think IANA costs, I think we mean the entire fully comprehensive IANA costs, not simply the IANA department costs, or certain costs that are more obvious or specific. I suppose this is the entire scope of IANA costs yet to be defined. Should be, when we say should be, should be in what context, in what framework, in what time frame? Is it tomorrow? Is it in the future? Is it in a specific type of document? Is it in a specific type of process? I don't know what the answer to that question is.
That's a great question on your part. This is Chuck again, Xavier, and we didn't put a time frame on that. I don't know that we can. Obviously, maybe what we should say, and see if this makes sense, and other people feel free to jump in, IANA cost should be fully as fully transparent as soon as possible. Because we understand right now, a lot of times they have an analysis has to be done and so forth. But going forward, this design team believes that they need to be fully transparent. That'll become they will be transparent if we go to a subsidiary model, I think, automatically. But we're also limited by we don't know what recommendations are finally going to come out of CWG. So we have some of the same limitations you do. But is there a way that that could be worded that it makes it reasonable and feasible? Go ahead, Xavier.
I would assume so. I think that if this statement is solution, if this statement is solution agnostic, it's difficult to make it a lot more specific. I would suspect that maybe there is either a guiding principles that is subject of a recommendation, and one guiding principle would be that the IANA costs are fully transparent at all times for any purpose. Because I think that at the end of the day, this is, I suspect the intention of this statement number one is that in the future, in any future state, I think this group thinks that the visibility of anyone on the IANA costs need to be present, need to be available, and therefore the INI costs need to be transparent. So it sounds to me less of a request or a specific requirement and more a guiding principle for any future state. Maybe there is a way to formulate it like that if I'm analyzing the purpose correctly.
Thanks, Xavier. Does anyone, I mean, let me see, is there, would you like to come back to us? Sorry for fumbling around just a little bit. Would you like to come back to us with some wording that, because I think you're right. I think you captured it right. Disagree with me, anybody on the call. I think it is for any future state, we think the cost should be fully transparent. So, I mean, is that the way we should word it, or you want to respond to that? Is that what we should say? IANA costs should be fully transparent for any future state of the IANA services. Is that
Chuck, Cheryl here?
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks, mate. I was trying to put my hand up in the room, but I found driving and putting my hand up in the room is a little more complicated than even I could manage. I just wanted to pick up what Xavier's unofficially proposing in terms of drafting of text here is excellent, and to some extent I'd almost just be stealing it unashamedly from him when we listen to the recording and putting it into our own drafting. But I did want the word he used earlier on, comprehensive, to be in that text as well. So that was just my very brief intervention.
Thanks, Cheryl. So let's, does Xavier, Chuck speaking again, does that work? Does it say IANA costs should be fully and comprehensively transparent in any future state? Is that specific enough?
Sorry, Chuck. Comprehensively transparent is ridiculous terminology. What you want is comprehensive costs that are transparent.
Run that by me again, please, Cheryl. Chuck. IANA, comprehensive costs. I didn't quite follow what you suggested there.
Chuck, this is Grace. If I can step in, go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. No, bless you, Grace. I'm sure you know exactly what I want to say. Go ahead, dear.
I think what Cheryl was going for was IANA's comprehensive cost, like the comprehensive cost of the IANA function, should be fully transparent for any future state.
Okay. Does that work, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate it. And thanks, Grace. Does that work for you, Xavier?
That sounds fine to me, but I'm not responsible for making the recommendation, so I don't want to influence too much the group. It sounds clear to me at this stage, again, to produce a transparent analysis, then you would need more context. But again, as a guiding principle, it sounds reasonable to me.
Thank you very much, Sal. And that's what we're trying to get. That's why I would like to go through these recommendations, make sure we're specific enough, like you have said several times on this call, and that we're not asking something that's impossible. Okay? Number two, then, and I'll let you read it on, and everyone else read it on their own, I believe that is what you're doing in the analysis that you're giving us. Is that a correct assumption?
I believe it is correct, with the limitations of what is included versus not included in that analysis, but you're correct. For example, capital costs are not correct, but are not included. But the annual operating costs of operating the INF functions by ICANN is what I will provide. So if that was what was requested in number two, then yes, that will be available soon.
And we'll have the opportunity, Chuck again, we'll have the opportunity to provide feedback if we think it doesn't include something that's there, and you'll have a chance to respond to that in our next call together. Number three, yeah. Then, this is a future one. That that same kind of itemization that we're talking about for the current budget would be the ideal state for the future budgets and operating plans. Any questions or comments on that?
Yes. I think if I understand correctly the question here, in order to be able to answer this question as an example for FY16, we would need to make sure that the structure of projects under which the entire organization works is defined and designed so that a selected list of projects can be extracted and, when aggregated together, provide the comprehensive INF costs. It is possible. It would need to be designed as such, and the current structure of projects has not been designed for that purpose. Therefore, in order to produce that information, the organization would need to operate a retrofit of the project structure in order to allow for that analysis to be provided. And again, the analysis that I'm reading here is an operating plan that includes the entire list of projects that make up the INA functions for ICANN. It is possible. It is not currently available as with the existing information that we have produced and are using on an ongoing basis for the FY16 or FY15 operating plans.
Thank you very much, Xavier. And notice 2 points of flexibility in the way we have worded that. Note that we said, if possible for fiscal year 16, we understand the challenges there. So we're not saying it has to be. To the extent we can move in that direction for fiscal year 16 in the short time we have in front of us and the short time that your team has to work on that. So please note that, okay? We recognize that's asking a lot, and it may not be totally possible for fiscal year 16, but we'd certainly like it going forward after that. And then notice also we said at the end, to the project level and below. In my own opinion, if the projects can be retrofitted in the future, probably not fiscal year 16, I would think, but if they could be, that makes it really easy because you're giving the detail down to the project level. If not, certain projects have to be broken out a little bit below the project level. We're not saying which way to do it. I personally like the project, retrofitting the projects to do that, but that's okay. Okay, so now on the last three, I don't know that we need to. I certainly want to give you the opportunity to comment on those, but the last three are their future work that we're recommending be done, depending on the solution. Okay, that is recommended and ultimately approved. And we will certainly need finances cooperation doing these three, but I don't know that we necessarily need to spend too much time talking about them here. And very quickly, especially since Cheryl's on driving, number four is identifying any related cost elements that may not be needed in the future, depending on the solution that's suggested. Number five is projection of any new cost elements that will be incurred with whatever solution is provided. And then number six, a review of the IANA stewardship transition costs in the fiscal year 16 budget to ensure that there are adequate funds to address this cost. This is kind of the issue that four of us on your first webinar brought up. There's $7 million in the budget for IANA transition and for the accountability stuff and AOC stuff, and I think there's one other element there. We don't need to talk about that now. But this is along that line, knowing that there's going to be some estimates and so forth, but we want to, you know, we're suggesting that the CWG review and that going forward review the costs of the fiscal year 16 budget at whatever time that is. It may be after they're approved, okay, to make sure that there are adequate funds, for example, in the reserves if there, if any excess costs would need to be allocated like you've already designed in the budget. That's what that one is. And so 4, 5, and 6 we need to deal with in the future once we know the solution and even once we know the solution is approved. Any questions or comments on that, Zavia?
The only comment I would make is that the support of ICANN Finance or ICANN in general to any analysis of this group or any other is guaranteed, should be assumed, and is unlimited.
Thank you. And I, as you know, I knew that already from your team and from having worked with you. But I did at least want to make sure so that that there's no surprises going forward, and that you understand the recommendations as they're being made. Does anyone on the call? Go ahead, Xavier.
No, no, sorry. I think I understand. I think to the point that you made earlier, 4, 5, and 6 are very dependent upon what solutions are being formulated. So I think they're good milestones of questions to be worked on once we have sufficient information to work on them. And we will make ourselves available then.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Chuck again. Anybody else? Coming up to the end of our 90 minutes. I want to open up the floor to anybody on the call to make any comments or ask any additional questions, keeping in mind that we're all going to work on looking at the analysis tomorrow and come up with questions in writing and comments in writing based on that analysis, and then we'll meet with Xavier again later this week. Any questions or comments, please raise your hand, or in the case of Cheryl or anybody else who's not in Adobe Connect anymore, please speak up. So my, not seeing anyone or hearing anyone, so my question to the group, are we, other than the analysis that we're going to do and the rewording of recommendation one that I think we've already come to agreement on, are we essentially pretty much done with this document? Less anything that we might want to make reference to with regard to the analysis that finance is providing us. Olivier, please.
Thanks very much, Chuck. Olivier Capanabral speaking, and I think you've answered your own question here. I think it really depends on tomorrow and on the document that we received, that we will receive. I would be interested in finding out whether, if there was a need to speak to Xavier again and have some of the answers, or if we had any points to ask on the documentation that will be given to us, there will be an ability for us to do so before we provide our report.
That's the plan, Olivier. This is Chuck. The plan is to schedule, and we're going to do a new doodle poll for Wednesday or Thursday, okay, with Xavier, and Xavier, if you want anybody else from your team on it, just let us know. It's your call. We appreciate the commitment of you and your team to work with us. But the plan is on Wednesday or Thursday to do another meeting, another 90-minute meeting, hopefully that everybody can attend, assuming that's possible, but certainly maximizing the amount of participation. And then at the end of that call, after going through, and now keep in mind, we want people to submit their questions and comments in writing to Xavier before that meeting, in other words, before Wednesday, so that he has a chance and his team has a chance to look at those to maximize our time in that call, and then we will make the decision at the end of that call whether any adjustments to our recommendations and this document need to be made before submission to the CWG. Does that make sense, Olivier?
That works for me, Chuck. Olivier speaking. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any other comments or questions before we adjourn this call? Grace, are you okay in terms of next steps? It looks like I'm looking over there right now. And thanks, Xavier. We'll just count on finding a time that you're available for that call. Okay, Grace, anything else on your end?
No, so my understanding is that I have just one edit to do in the recommendation number one of the document, so I'll put that edit in and then send it out to the group right after the call.
Yeah, just send that out as a red line. It'll be a real simple red line.
Correct.
That'll be the only change. And,
okay.
And then you've taken great notes, and we've got the chat that'll be available. So thanks, everyone, for the great participation. I hope we can get this much participation on Wednesday or Thursday, and hopefully we'll be able to wrap it up then. Now, the reality of the matter is this group may be asked, or we may volunteer, or whatever the case may be, to do some follow-on work with regard to budget going forward after we deliver our recommendations. So just a warning in that regard, so that we because we've kind of got the background and we're providing the feedback to the finance team on their analysis, it is possible that we will be asked to do more later on, but we'll deal with that when that happens. Thank you very much.
How could we resist, Chuck? How could we resist?
What? What's that?
How could we resist?
Thanks, Cheryl. Well said. So thanks, everyone. Great meeting, I think. And Xavier, thank you very, very much. You've been very helpful. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you later in the week. This meeting is adjourned, and the recording can end.
Bye.
Bye.